Good to see you back again this evening as we break the bread of life to you. On Sunday evenings, if you've noticed, we've been staying in historical books. Joshua, and now 2 Samuel. We may go back to Judges next Sunday. But I definitely want to get in the book of Ruth, one of my favorite Old Testament books. So, Lord willing, we'll be staying with historical books. I used to teach historical books in seminary at Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary. After giving a test, my students would say, "This isn't historical books, it's hysterical books." Pastor's gone hysterical on us. The passage we're looking at tonight, I suppose you could say, is somewhat obscure, but it has significant meaning for us. I want to talk to you tonight about the fidelity of Ittai the Gittite. Not exactly a household name. In fact, I've never met anybody who was named with that biblical name, Ittai, but it's a good name. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on our time together tonight. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that you have allowed us to meet again together. And I pray that you will meet with us and that your spirit may be evident as we discuss together your word, as we attempt to apply it to our lives. Thank you for your indwelling spirit to guide us, to direct us into truth, the truth of your word. We know your spirit and your word never, never contradict each other. They always complement each other. It could not be otherwise. So help us, Lord, to discern that, to discern your spirit's leading with regard to your word. So bless us together tonight as we look into it. In Jesus' name, amen. The Laymans had Kate and myself for lunch today, and we just had a great time. Now, I've been in many Christian homes before over the years, many Christian homes. I don't know that Kate ever has been. She mentioned to me just before leaving that I don't think I've ever been so amazed at the love poured out to me today by you folks. Don't bust your buttons over that now, okay? Don't get highfaluting about it. It's of the Lord, right? It's God's love shown through us. I was really praying that that would be an impression that she would have, and she certainly did. So pray for Kate Pelliser. And she's a smart girl, going to Ivy Tech and then from there to Purdue, Lord willing. But this is a new life for her. This is all new to her. So you pray that God will give us wisdom and knowing how to disciple her and help her. New babe in Christ. Gave her a study Bible. Just as she was getting into the car, she says, "I will text you so that we can get together and I can show her how to use that Bible." Pray that that will go well. I'll be able to help her and encourage her. All right, Ittai the Gittite. Deception, treachery, hatred, jealousy, murder are the features that describe the house of David after his wretched sins of murder and adultery. God said, "You have caused division in a house through your sins. Now I am going to send the sword of division to your house." He would not do away with David's house because he had promised David that his house would endure forever through the son of David, the Messiah. But nevertheless, a sword would come to his house, the sword of division. Carnal actions of David's household reveal the character of their heart. When you study narrative literature, especially in the Old Testament historical books, look for the term heart and how God uses that to describe a person's character. Amnon was an adulterer at heart. Joab, David's nephew, was a murderer at heart. And now Absalom, who coveted the kingdom of his father, was a thief and a deceiver at heart. While David was a man after God's own heart. In spite of all his failures, David was a man devoted to God's precepts, his person, and his promises. Kissing. You heard me right. Kissing highlights the contrast. After 5 years of banishment, Absalom is summoned to the palace where the scripture states in 2 Samuel 14:33, the king kissed Absalom. And nothing unusual about that in the ancient Near East. This is how people greeted each other. This is how they expressed affection. This was for David a kiss of reconciliation. I mean, Absalom had been away. They had a falling out. Now he's come back home. Wonderful. So for David, that was the kiss of reconciliation, but not for Absalom. It was the kiss of deception. It reminds us of Judas's treacherous kiss of Jesus. In plotting against his father, Absalom committed treason. The scripture says in 2 Samuel 15, verses 5 and 6, you can follow along if you like, and it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom, notice, Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Who did he steal from? From David. He wanted the kingdom. He coveted the kingdom, so he used deception. Absalom was a thief and a deceiver at heart. Again, where a kiss is meant to convey affection, with Absalom it conveys deception. When David learns of the plot to steal the kingdom, he flees Jerusalem. And his household with him. He left some back home to take care of the home, the scripture says. But he took his household with him, his wives, his children, that he might protect them in this day of danger, and that they might comfort him in his day of grief. His favorite son had deceived him. How brokenhearted he was. The trusted palace guard of Pelethites, accompanied him. The scripture says in verse 15, ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. These were the faithful few who had proven their loyalty to David. They were not going to abandon him now. But there steps forward one who had seemed least likely to cast his fortunes with this abandoned king, this exiled king of Israel. One you would think would gloat over the king's distress. He and his company of 600 are from where? From Gath. Who else was from Gath? Goliath. Here is a Gittite. Here is a Philistine Ittai from Gath. Natives of a nation who had been the most dangerous threat to Israel until David defeated them. He was the first king to actually defeat the Philistines. It was their champion Goliath that he killed with a stone. Everybody knows that story. What shame David had brought to this rogue nation of Philistia. And yet, these citizens of Gath, instead of despising David, decided to throw in their lot with him. What had happened? David had won over their heart to him and to his Lord. Instead of despising David, they were willing to lay down their lives for him. When they heard he was in trouble, they came to his aid. Why? Because, again, David had won their hearts by generosity, not stolen them with trickery. They'd come to trust David and evidently had placed their faith in David's God. For that, they had become outcasts from their people. Can't go back to Gath, can't go back to Philistia. We're certainly not going to stick around with this renegade son of David, Absalom. So we're going to stick it out with David. David counsels their leader, Ittai, to remain in Jerusalem. What does he say in verse 19? Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king. Now notice, he's already acknowledging defeat here. He's pretty discouraged. He's saying Absalom has assumed the monarchy, and I'll just grant him that for now. For thou art a stranger and also an exile. He did not wish to send him away because he doubted him, but because he felt the need to protect him. Ittai's response is remarkable. Notice in verse 21, as the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. It's very similar to what Ruth said to Naomi when they were leaving Moab for the house of bread, Bethlehem. This Philistine who forsook family and friends, false gods, pagan rulers, swears with a double oath to fight with David and, if necessary, to die with him. Ittai is a wonderful example of fidelity. Now, you know what fidelity is. Now, when I was a kid, you know, if you bought a record, you want to look for that label, what? High fidelity. We use the term Wi-Fi now, but hi-fi was big back then. It meant that it was very, very close, almost perfect to the original sound. High fidelity. Well, that's what you want, high fidelity. It's faithful to the original sound. Well, that's Ittai. He's faithful. He's a man of high fidelity. Abiding faithfulness. He was faithful at heart. That was his heart. So what can we learn about Ittai's decision that will inspire us to this kind of fidelity to Christ? And that's really the point of this message. Loyalty to our Lord. First of all, fidelity is abiding faithfulness from a worthy servant. What a contrast between Absalom and Ittai. The one hungry for supremacy, the other humbly ready for service. It's the son we would expect to honor the father. And yet here's a Philistine who should have been regarded as an enemy doing the honors. Just the opposite is the case. It's Absalom who is the master of pretense and guile, the traitor to king and country. Ittai, the minister of peace and goodwill, the trustworthy companion, a man of noble character and sacrificial love. And notice the blessing that David pronounces on Ittai in verse 20. Take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. And the phrase mercy and truth be with thee would probably be better translated, and may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you. That word mercy in the Hebrew is chesed. There's not an exact translation of that in the English. The best we can do is faithful love. It's the term David uses more than any other in the Psalms to express the virtues of God. He uses that term chesed, loving kindness or faithful love. David is recognizing in Ittai that kind of love. And he's asking God to bless Ittai with that kind of love, faithful love. David, in faithfully caring for Ittai's safety, and Ittai in faithfully serving David, what a combination. These are the qualities of true friends. This evidences a character trait that united them together. This chesed that originates from God, and he shed that abroad in the hearts of these two men, knitting them together around the Lord himself. It's because Ittai owns these qualities that he will not go back, but go forward with David. As we grow in grace, and we should be growing in grace, we increase in these divine virtues that chesed produces: trustworthiness, loyalty, sacrifice, devotion, courage, dependability. Is that what people know us for? Do they look at us and see our character and recognize those qualities in us? They should, if we reflect Christ. And they are reciprocated between David and Ittai and their God. Thinking of the pilgrims, you know, 400 years ago, right now, today, as I speak, 400 years ago as I speak, they're somewhere on the Atlantic Ocean, on the Mayflower, being tossed about by stormy seas, hoping to sight land before too much longer. I love the pilgrims because they're a local church. They came from Scrooby, England, to begin with, and then because of persecution fled to Holland and were there in Leiden, Holland for 12 years, and finally left to come to America. But they came as an extension of a local church. And so I like to talk about the pilgrims as one church to another. William Bradford wrote the first history of the America, the colonies of America, and it was called Of Plymouth Plantation, William Bradford. He was governor for 30 years of that colony. When trying to flee England because of religious persecution, many of them were arrested during their first attempt to sail to Holland. During the second successful attempt, the ship's captain, fearing the police, set off with only the men and left the women and children behind. Imagine that. Sailing over to Holland, the men, seeing their wives and children, wondering what in the world is happening. Let me take it up with William Bradford's statement here. poor souls enduring misery enough, but in the end, necessity forced a way for them, and finally they managed to rejoin the rest in Holland. Happy ending. But note what Bradford adds to his story, and this is really significant. He said, "I must not omit, however, to mention the fruit of it all. By these public troubles in so many eminent places," and this was just one of many troubles that they had, "their cause became famous and occasioned many to look into the same and their godly carriage, their attitude, their character, and Christian behavior was such as left a deep impression on the minds of many." And then, though some few shrunk at these first conflicts and sharp beginnings, yet many more came on with fresh courage and greatly animated or inspired others. These courageous believers proved themselves faithful to God in their faithfulness to each other. This was their Christian testimony to the world. Pilgrims. Ittai proved himself worthy in another remarkable event we find recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 18. Would you turn over there with me? A couple of chapters, three chapters to chapter 18. When David was finally able to muster an army to retake Jerusalem, the scripture says that he set captains over thousands. This is verse 2. He set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them, and David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother. So these were both nephews of David. We would expect him to divide the army up like that. But this leaves a third for another commander. Whom does David choose? Of course, Ittai the Gittite. Can you imagine that? A third of David's army, this exiled army, under the leadership of a Philistine. But you see, Ittai is no longer a Philistine at heart. See, at heart, he's a believer in the God of David, the God of Israel. And then when David wants to go with them to battle, Ittai and the two commanders advise him to stay behind. They say he's too valuable to the people. Look at verse 3. "The enemy will not care about us. Thou art worth 10,000 of us." Why would David listen to a Philistine? Because, again, he was no longer a Philistine. He was a loyal follower of David and David's God. So no matter what happened, and no one knew at this point what would happen, Ittai was going to follow David. Fidelity is evidenced not only in a worthy servant, but for a worthy cause. Fidelity is abiding faithfulness to a worthy cause. Ittai reminds me of Don Quixote, who would march into hell for a heavenly cause. There is nothing that so ennobles and dignifies a commonplace nature as enthusiasm for a great cause. And Ittai considered the king's cause to be a great cause. Obviously, not every cause is worth the effort, but a righteous one is. The cause of righteousness in defense of the truth is always worthy, and because honorable will never finally fail. David was the recipient of this everlasting covenant. It just overwhelmed him. when God told him that your house will be an eternal house, that your kingdom will be forever, he said, that's a very long time. Yeah, it is. Now, how much Ittai knew of that covenant, we're not sure. But regardless of that, he was acquainted enough with David to know that God had chosen him. He was God's choice. You're looking for a new pastor. And of course, you want this to be God's choice. And he hopefully will lead you to recognize his choice. This shepherd, I mean, David was a shepherd, right? He was a shepherd literally of sheep. And then he became shepherd over the house of Israel. You're looking for a shepherd to be over the house of Berean, over you as brothers and sisters in Christ. These are the qualities you look for. Is God's hand upon him? Is he God's choice? Does he possess chesed, loving faithfulness? I just happened upon a documentary, actually narrated by the theme of the documentary, on Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas, as you probably know, is Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, very conservative man. Ever get a chance to watch this documentary on his life? It is fascinating. He was a radical, violent, civil rights activist in the 1960s and 70s. But God providentially and dramatically turned him around in support of liberty under law. 180-degree turn. What turned him around? He was seeking to find a cause, and he says that in the documentary, I was seeking to find some cause worth dying for. He found it in the United States Constitution. A couple of friends of his who were constitutional authorities began studying it with him. And he just became absorbed. He became enamored with the United States Constitution. What a wonderful document this is. And since being appointed to the bench of the United States Supreme Court, he has never varied from the principles found in that Constitution. They just captured him. So he's very loyal to the Constitution. Would all of our leaders, our government leaders, be equally as loyal to the Constitution? Well, Ittai was loyal to a higher cause than that, to the cause of David, to the cause of David's God. So Ittai expressed fidelity as a worthy servant to a worthy cause, but mainly because of a worthy king. And I finish with this. Fidelity is abiding faithfulness to a worthy person. Spurgeon writes, I think that one reason why faithful Ittais have become so scarce may be because large-hearted Davids are so rare. Ittai was willing to follow David wherever, even if it cost him his life. There are things more regrettable, and you young people especially need to hear this, there are things more regrettable than losing your life. People are so fearful today of losing their life. But there are things that are worse than losing your life. It's losing your faith, for one thing. Cowardice in refusing to help a comrade face a dangerous enemy. Bravery, courage, these qualities that we mentioned earlier. Ittai considered more important than death. So he was willing to link his life with David's and his death, if necessary, with David's. He considered David his sovereign because, again, David was God's choice. This, I believe, is one reason for the double oath. As the Lord liveth, and he could have stopped there, but he says, and as my Lord the King liveth. And notice again the next part of the oath. Surely in what place my Lord the King will be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. Wherever my Lord the King shall be, think of the implications of that vow. Wherever you go, you can count on me. I will follow you. What devotion, what commitment to a person. Can you say that about your Lord? Wherever he goes, wherever he leads, I will follow. Where did he go? He went outside the camp. He went outside the place of popularity and prestige and prominence to make a payment for us on the cross. A sacrifice on our behalf. Book of Hebrews says that's where we need to be. We need to follow Christ, our Lord, our David, the Son of David, outside the camp, bearing what? His reproach. And as this poor, sin-sick world continues to become more corrupt, that reproach will become more intense. You can put that down. I think that is scriptural. So it's easy to get on the bandwagon of the prosperous, the popular, the one whose banner is flying high. But to cast your lot with one despised and rejected, that's another matter. The ultimate test of faithfulness is remaining united to the person and mission of Christ, even though it means reproach for the cause of the gospel of Christ. Alexander McLaren, a contemporary of Spurgeon, said this: life alone can communicate life. It is only love that can kindle love. It is only sacrifice that can inspire sacrifice. And so he, Christ, comes to us and asks us that we should just love him back as he loved us. He first gives himself utterly for us and to us, and then asks us to give ourselves wholly to him. He first yields up his own life, and then he says, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. The object, the true object for all this depth of love is God in Christ, the Christ that died for us. There's nothing more tragic in this world than the misdirection of man's capacity for love and sacrifice. A love for folly, a sacrifice for vice, yeah, that happens all the time. Perhaps the lowest form of this is the sacrifice of one's dignity and morality for a carnal addiction, the gratification of fleshly pleasure instead of passion of love for what God intended for man, the love of God and all that that entails. So let me ask you, in the spirit of Ittai, can you say, as the Lord liveth, surely in whatsoever place my Lord and Savior shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. Remember, the measure of your power of loving is the measure of your obligation to love your Lord, no matter what happens to you. As Paul admonishes in Romans 14:8, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. That, my friend, sums up fidelity. Let's pray. Thank you for this example of Ittai the Gittite, dear Father. Help us to follow his example in being that kind of caring concern for our Lord and Savior. That kind of faithfulness, may it be not just latent in our lives, but an obvious example of our character, that we might set an example of what it truly means to follow Christ as Ittai followed David. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
349, please stand with me and sing the last verse, "To Near the Cross."
Near the cross I'll watch and wait.